I need to raise this much money to buy this real estate first property.
Right.
Bet. Like, it should always be bet. Like, I'm on that shit.
Yeah, everything. Like I said, as long as you're alive and you're free, you really can, even as a Black person in America, you can make something shake. Just get it done.
Welcome to The Culture's Money. The Culture's Money is a podcast created to discuss how we multiply the $1.2 trillion in spending power possessed by the American Black community through the vehicles of investing, personal finance, ownership, networking, and most importantly, collaboration. We are the culture, baby, and we are the financing that we've been seeking. Now, let's get into this money talk. And here's your host, Jamal Vitos.
Is another episode of The Culture's Money. I am your host, Jamal Vitos. Some of you may know me on other platforms as Leo Graham Prince, but however it is that you know me, I hope you know me to be an advocate for financial literacy, financial health, and generational growth. The Culture's Money is a podcast wherein helping you to navigate the financial, business, and entrepreneurship of the culture by voices of the culture. I'm excited for this episode because this is a return guest. She was with us for Black People, Tech is a Cheat Code, and she's done some great things since then. She's started selling merch for In Tech We Trust. She's gotten herself some more certificates, and she's really kind of carved out a niche on the Twitter community of educating fellow tech members or people who want to get into tech. So I want y'all to give a round of applause for Asia being back on the ones and twos with me today.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me again.
So first of all, let's start. Let's tell them how your previous episodes is a banger.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm super flattered. That's the thing. I'm like modest, but like, oh, wow, that's so amazing that you guys like me so much. So,
like, seriously, like, Asia's episode, y'all, my closest other episode did 173 listens and 79. Asia's episode, I checked today, is at 502.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's super cool.
And the funny thing is, the first week after we did, I think you did 100 in like 7 days. Mm-hmm. And then it kept going up, and then eventually it reached like 3 something and it hovered there for a while, but it kept upticking. I just checked it the other day and I was like, geez, Asia is still banging.
I'm really honored. You should see how hard I'm smiling.
What I think it is, I think it's a test. I don't know how it is. I think every time you're teaching more people on Twitter, mm-hmm. somehow they find the podcast episode. I'm not sure if it's on my page or your page, but they kind of trickle back.
I have to repost the link.
And I think that's really good.
Yeah, I have to repost the link too. I need to feature the podcast on my website, actually. I think I'm going to blog it tonight.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So let's talk about a couple of things. I know the certs were a huge thing when we first talked a few months back. Have you gotten any new ones since then?
I have not gotten any additional certs at this time. My main focus, I don't want to jump the gun.
No, go ahead. We're just going to talk. So
okay. My main focus right now, because I kind of went super hard when COVID hit, just to keep myself productive. I think I had like 5 certifications since COVID, like between April and June. Mm-hmm. So my head was just in the books, online, Udemy, YouTube, and so on. So right now I'm kind of just focusing on tightening up those skills and making sure I am using them to the best of my ability for money. So I can, you know, be comfortable on these jobs and these roles and just continue to educate myself and make sure I'm useful and competitive in this crazy job force.
Your mind is funny. Like, I always thought people always tell me I have a capacity for like numbers and you know, the amount of analytical stuff I can keep in my head. But watching you tweet, like, I'll see you tweeting and you'll tell me you did tell the timeline you did an all nighter, or you were up to 1 or 2 a.m. doing some studying.
Yeah.
Like, how does your mind keep all that information?
I will say, you know, this day and age, they definitely give out a lot of good resources. So like this time around, I have been really, really vendor based. You know, with the pandemic and everything, a lot of websites, they launched all of these. Again, I think we talked about this the first episode. They launched so many free campaigns for different areas of education and to better yourself. And a lot of these certifications, too, they want people to be certified. So they're just giving out, at this point, I joke and I always say, these IT jobs, they're just giving out money. But the certifications and these educational vendors, they are too. So they just come up with a lot of ways to keep you interactive. And again, I'm very, very salary driven. So if I know that, you know, a certification, the salary is $130,000, I'm going to want it. At this point, this is like Pokemon, got to catch them all. So right now, I'm just revving up. So at this point, that's why, like, I went so hard getting all these certifications. But you have to make sure you're able to actually apply them. So, and I tell people all the time, there are moments where studying, and it's not a bad thing necessarily, studying for an exam or the certification is going to be a lot different than studying with the purpose of actually want to understand, be able to talk about this topic comfortably, thus getting a job, right? Because a lot of people in the tech world, you have all kind of like study guides and practice tests. So you can remember, you know, A, B, C, D, like, oh, I know this is A, I know this is B. Like, I remember this, I've seen this question somewhere before. But then when you get in front of the interviewer, you cannot articulate and have a conversation about this topic, right? You can't tell the interviewer A, B, C, D. So right now I'm just making sure I go back, do a lot of labs. You know, see, I'm jumping the gun. I took a second job. So I have all these meetings where I'm just soaking in information, making sure I am able to discuss it, making sure I'm able to interface with who I need to interface to, because we need the money.
And I think you bring up a valid point, because I'm seeing that a lot. You know, finance is more my thing, but I'm seeing it a lot in the timeline where people can talk about, they can talk what I like to say, they can talk the surface of investing, but they can't talk the hard skills.
Right.
They can't talk you really can't talk the language. So when I say something on a timeline and people who I've seen been tweeting about this stuff for months ask me a simple question, and in my head, I'm like, I've seen you tweet this stuff, so you mean to tell me you really don't understand it?
Yeah.
But I still respond to them like, okay, this is what it is. But I'm thinking like, you're going to lose money because you really don't know what you're doing.
Right.
Because clearly you don't understand the fundamentals and all that. And I think you're right, because it's so easy to study for an exam. People can retain information long enough to pass the test. I used to do it in college all the time. I had this incredible capacity. If I forgot I had an exam and I realized, oh, at 3:30 I got an exam, I could study for 3 hours, pass an exam with a B+, but not really remember it.
Yep.
Because I just crammed it in my head. Unless it was a subject that I really loved. So I get what you're saying in that aspect. So when you're teaching people that, is that something you kind of push? Because I know you've gone into, not necessarily, but you become kind of a tutor and a lecturer with, you know, the Twitter community, the tech Twitter community on your side. Like, is that what you really push for them? Yeah, I want you to pass this exam, but you need to have a goal and know what the nuts and bolts of this is.
Yeah, because that's the thing too. And I think this is kind of why people listen to me in a way. Again, I'm saying that modestly. I am a realist. Like, I see other people on Twitter and, you know, it's no shade to anyone, but they are preaching to people, you know, do stuff the right way. That is all fine and good. It looks really good in black and white reading it, but being realistic in this economy with the pandemic, you are seeing, and it's not even in tech alone, because I've tried to venture out to other areas that I'm not a specialist in. That's why I reached out to you for better financial literacy. You know, I reach out to folks for real estate and stuff like that. It sounds good to do stuff ABC, but all of us are, at the end of the day, a lot of people just really like instant gratification, right? So when I lecture, you know, about tech, I'm real with that. I totally understand if you're going to, you know, use a practice test and you're just going to try to memorize the answers. It's a shortcut to any and everything. It's always a shortcut. But I just make sure people know, okay, you know, you could pass the cert, but you need to really make sure. And I tell people, even after you pass the cert, go back and do the course again. Because now you're taking out that anxiety, that test anxiety of, oh my God, like I'm on a time clock. Somebody can see. Because a lot of these IT tests are proctored. You know, oh my God, somebody I don't know is watching me. I have 60 minutes to answer 60 questions or whatever the case is. So you have a lot of nervousness and anxiety built up. So some people are just trying to, let me hurry up and study, get through this test, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I passed the test, I'm going to get a job. It does not work like that. It does not work like that. So I tell people all the time, you know, I'll celebrate them up and down the timeline and what have you, all my emojis, but you got to go take that same course without that exam anxiety, you know, calmly, and you're really soaking up the information this time around.
Okay. So how do you, since we last talked, you are already on the path when you were on the last episode, but now it's really grown. Like when I say, I see the love that, you know, Tech Twitter shows you and how they generally, from what I see, they appreciate the free info that you give them, how you, you know, are always giving free game and everything. How do you react to, you know, I want people to know it's not just about, yeah, we all about the money, we all about, you know, the positions and all that, but it's about the people too. Yeah. It's about the journey. And how is it, you know, having people love you that much genuinely, and also, you know, having a community that kind of depends on your knowledge and your insight and your advice so heavily?
It feels really, so when I'm asked questions like this, and it's not like I feel like a superstar or anything like that, but it's just, and I think I said this on Instagram, it's a huge blessing and a really rewarding feeling to be a part of someone's story. You know, there are people that they'll come back and thank me like after the fact. They may not have necessarily booked a consult with me, but, you know, they paid attention to my tweets and stuff like that. And they double back and they're like, Asia, you know, I got this certification. I just got an offer for this job. So it's a really, really rewarding feeling. I'm sorry, you're making me emotional. Because I think sometimes people...
That's good. No. I want them to hear that. good. I want them to hear that, you know, even with all the attention that someone gets, and I think that's the real authentic thing about you and some other people that I know personally, that you don't take the attention and get big-headed. No. You're still very humble. You say it all the time. Yeah. And that's important.
No, because I think people... I don't know what I can say on here. I think people, if they're not following me and they're just like coming on my page or whatever, because I like nice stuff, like that's what kind of motivates me. I love to shop and stuff like that, but I'm not a dickhead, and I don't know, like, you know, if you're not following, maybe it looks a certain way, I don't know, but
I'm a dickhead, like I'm staying in front of, I'm a dickhead.
No, but like I tell people, I'm like, I want to help everybody. I did not make my website, you know, like, oh, this is a cool thing, let me make my website and I want to have this and have that. Half the people that I've consulted with, especially starting out, because I didn't even know how to add a payment functionality on my website, I consulted with them for free. So even when I added the consult feature, it was super low. Like, I was not trying to get rich. Even when I added the fees or whatever associated, that was just to stop me from like getting so many bookings. And it didn't even stop me because I was still getting booked like crazy. But I don't know. It's just overall, it's a really, really rewarding feeling because I knew it had to be created, because when you're looking at people in tech, when you're looking at people in real estate, when you're looking at people in finance, these are areas that allow people to thrive where you don't necessarily need a degree, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to make sure that I put that out there, that representation that, okay, yeah, you can do this too. You don't have to take it the traditional route. You can still meet these goals financially and for your family and stuff, like, or, you know, just stuff. You just want a nice handbag, or you just want whatever the case is, you can do it too. That was always my take on it. So to see it grow to this level, and it's just, it's unbelievable. Like, it's crazy.
And I think an interesting part, I don't know if you've seen it, well, probably you have because you've developed it, but like, it's just the entrepreneur in my head. I'm always telling people about letting your audience tell you where to go. When you put something out, like you said, you put your website out without a payment functionality, you eventually added that and the booking still didn't stop. Another thing I saw that's interesting is in Tech She Trusts, your merch.
Oh.
I believe I saw the tweet where someone said, Asia, I need you to make us some like products or something. Like, I just saw it in passing. Yeah. And in my head, I was like, oh, that would be cool. And she should do that. And then it became a thing.
Yeah.
And talk about how the community has kind of started making you produce products that you didn't initially even have desire to, or you never even thought.
I never had that. So I've always liked nice stuff. And see, I don't want to make this an unpopular episode, but what I will say is when I decided to do merch, I'm a big merch collector myself. When we used to be able to go to concerts, isn't that crazy how concerts are a thing of the past? But anyway,
yo, it sucks. It really sucks ass.
So when I used to go to concerts, I will always make sure I get like a t-shirt, a hoodie, or something like that from the concert. So like merch in itself has always been like my favorite thing, right? Like the animations, the graphics, like, you know, something really cool that you can't necessarily go to your mall and get, right? So I knew that when I did merch, or if I do merch, it was going to be on that level. So like the Kanye West type of merch, your Travis Scott, like stuff that people are actually excited to get, right? So I actually went on Instagram, hashtag Black Illustrators, went through probably hundreds of hashtags in the Explore page, whatever it's called, to find my style of illustrations that I wanted. Found a Black illustrator. She's dope. She's actually based in Europe. I forgot what country she's in, and I don't want to lie. But she's super, super dope. And we had the time difference, so I'll be talking to her, and it's 3 a.m. there and whatever time here and vice versa. So it would be like 12 hours passing before I hear anything back from her. So that was kind of an experience in itself. But yeah, so with long story short, with the merch, because I'm a collector of hype, like sneakers and merch and all of that stuff, I kind of knew that I wanted to create it like a shock value. Like people are not even going to know when it hits. And that's where I really had the most fun with my website too. Like just seeing everyone's excitement when they're able to get through, because the products sell out in like an hour.
Yo, they be mad in my timeline, AP. Like I'll be seeing the girls like, Asia, I went to the site, it was closed out. I'm like, that's right. That's a lot of supply and demand.
Actually, so can I ask you for advice?
Like on here right now?
I think that'd be cool.
Okay, sure.
So because you're in finance, I feel like this more like selling a product is like more maybe your area a little bit, because it's like business and stuff like that.
Okay.
Just your opinion too.
Okay.
I am so uncomfortable with pre-orders. Like I am a bit really big consumer. I like my stuff just as quick to come as I did to pay, right? So because my merch sells out so quickly, people want me to do pre-orders. Something about holding on to people's money for X amount of time just does not sit right with me, because now I've donned myself as the Amazon Prime of merch, where people are ordering on Wednesday and they're getting it on Friday. So like this past drop, I launched on Wednesday night. People today have received their orders. That's what I like. I'm just so uncomfortable with pre-orders. What do you think about that?
I'm thinking about you're uncomfortable now because you're a small scale and whatever, and you like to control the thing. But I'm telling you, I'm seeing your community. Your product's going to scale for one. And two, you got to look at something that I like called operating cash flow, when you have the money to kind of stay ahead of the curve. Like you don't want to go back to the old school retail warehouse things where you're holding product. Yeah. But you do kind of want to get into a habit of having the money, and kind of you're going to need some analytics, because you're going to need to know the volumes of, OK, when I launch this, what's my typical order for the initial sale?
See,
of
I
product?
Knew it. Is it 100 orders? I knew orders? To ask this question live right here. I knew it.
So holding on to the cash is not as going to be as long as you think. Yeah, you like to sell some on Wednesday and ship it, but you might hold on to this money maybe a week and then you're shipping it, which is not a long time. If you give people your comfortability is going to be like, okay, y'all, I'm taking pre-orders from this date to this date. We're going to launch here and you can expect your product here. You still can do that the Amazon of merch thing. It's just, you're just giving yourself a little bit of a lead time.
Okay.
And that way you won't have a lot of people still waiting. Because right now you're having people wait because you're sold out so much. So you have to re-up. Then they have to wait. And their other friends, they're jealous that their other friends already posted on the timeline because they got the product.
Yeah.
So you're giving yourself just a little bit of, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of pre-order as long as the communication will be key. Man, you talked about this last time about customer service in the Black community. if you run into an issue with your supplier where they're running out of the quality of t-shirts you wanted, or maybe the design isn't, you know, how it is, or blah, 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 you have to let the pre-order people know and just give them an option. I can either refund you the money or you can just hold on. You know, people, you've already built up a reputation of you're a deliverer. So people are going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I don't play. I don't play with anyone's money because I don't want anybody playing with mine.
So don't overthink of it. I need you. You're still in the whole, you know, it's fun, it's everything like that. And that's the one thing I always say entrepreneurs sometimes have a hard time doing, and that's why they hire people like me, more operational people. Sometimes you got to switch off and become that business manager. Yeah, I don't necessarily like doing the pre-orders because I don't want to hold people's money and make it seem like, you know, I'm holding a long time, they're looking for that product. But it's necessary sometimes to give them the best quality and customer experience.
This is true. Actually, this brings me to a story. So what just passed is my second drop. On my first release, I had like this insane website glitch where stuff was already sold out and it was allowing people to still order it. Oh my God. First of all, I cried. I'm so emotional these days. I don't know what the heck is wrong with me. I don't know. Because, and I think too, I felt so bad because I don't want to play with anyone's money. So this is how the whole pre-order thing started, because I'm like, okay, this is my first release. So I don't know how quickly anyone's going to get anything, right? Okay, do I hold on to the extra people who, well, I guess it is like extra money, the surplus of, is that surplus? No. That's surplus.
Yeah, that's surplus. Surplus. Right.
Look, I don't know the financial terms, but cool. I'm better than I thought. So I'm like, do I hold on to the surplus of orders? And I mean, again, no one knows my shipping time frame. So yeah, I could hold on to it for a week and they'll just get it in a week. I was not comfortable with that because I've had the experiences of ordering something and then I don't get it till a month later. I am not with none of that. So my whole thing is, I really like to be, because even when I first launched my merch or whatever, I guess I had the option to like do like kind of like drop shipping, where the shirts or hoodies or whatever are printed when someone orders. Like I don't have possession of them. They're not in my, you know, they're not in my house or anything like that. I didn't want to do that because I put so much extra love and goodies in my packages. So I'm just, I don't know. I still have to think about the pre-orders too, because that's another thing. Like, what if I get something that's pre-ordered and then when I see it, it's not even, like the quality is not there. I don't know. I have to think it through.
But that's what I'm telling you about. It gives you the option of letting, even when that malfunctioning was going on. And this is the beautiful part about being an entrepreneur, that some people, they want to skip the journey. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily you, but I tell people, don't skip that. This is where you learn what your system should be. Do I need a VA? And for those who are listening who don't know what it is, do I need a virtual assistant? Do I need someone to be managing production and delivery? Like, As your pre-orders grow, it might give you time where you're not handling everything. It's like, okay, you have a delay. If some of the pre-order money allows you to hire a virtual assistant for a few hours a day, and you need to send out 200 emails to your people saying, hey, the product came, guys, but it doesn't look great, or it doesn't look like how I envisioned it for you guys. And you know, I put all this extra love and goodies in it. I'm sending it back. I'm having them reprint it. I'm finding a new distributor. It's basically the communication. Your problem is you personally experience bad communication from a supplier to you. And you think that you don't want to do that to other people, when if you just hit it off at the pass with the proper communication and let them know, you know, to compensate you guys, you know, maybe I might knock 10% off the original price and refund them something. People are more understanding about that because you're constantly letting them know what's going on.
Yeah, I think the last time, the first time that happened, So I only gave it like 12 hours to figure out what I'm going to do. Am I going to just do kind of a pre-order? And I was not comfortable with that. I ended up issuing everyone a refund, and like whoever, like I knew, I would call them. If I knew like their social media handle, I'm like, so they got like email notifications like, okay, your order has been canceled. Then I'm like going back, you know, putting out fires, because customer service is very, very important to me. So I was like, I just can't imagine, you know, But yeah, it was definitely like a big learning lesson. But
that's the beautiful thing about it. And so, like, what's your merchant website? Mm-hmm. One, I want to ask, did you design your own web? Well, I'm assuming you designed your own website for the Intech She Trusts. And did you also, like, did you do your own graphic design for the products and everything?
Okay, so, oh, that's so good. I'm so glad you asked that. Let me just go on Instagram right quick. So...
That's what I like to push people's mind to think of stuff that maybe they haven't thought of.
I'm about to get you because you, I think what you just asked me sounded like you didn't go on my website. So my merch website and my actual website are one and the same. I didn't want to make a new website for my merch. So you're still, I mean, because this is the thing. I sell out fast. And I ship fast. I'm the Amazon Prime of tech merch. And I'm probably like a Yeezy of tech merch too. Like it sell like... When I launched on Wednesday, it was so random. I'm like, okay, like no one's, you know, technically it was a restock and I did add on one additional hoodie. But I'm like, you know, it's not going to sell out. It's still sold out in like an hour and a half. So I'm like, oh my God, like this is crazy. But so on my website, let me see if I can, I know her at, I just want to spell it correctly. So the person who designed my landing page is actually Dope Girl Society, and it's with the X. She's super amazing.
She about to get a lot of business because your episode was banging. So you just gave her free press.
And that's the thing too. Like even with my website, I don't hold any secrets. Like I told y'all how I got into tech, what cert I started out with, what certs are free, what certs are not free. I definitely could tell, you know, anyone, anything. I'm all for like empowerment.
Yeah. And you got enough free game on the thing that people know that you're not stingy with information, which is such the blessing you. For you.
But yeah, so Dope Girl Society actually designed my landing page, like the girl on the computer visual. She designed that. Mm-hmm. I did my website and then I worked with another illustrator for my merch illustrations. Now that, I don't know if I want to share that.
Oh, you're entitled to keep. What did we talk about last episode? I said we giving away enough free game that when I say certain things you have to pay for, certain things you have to pay for. Like you give people, I see it up and down the timeline. You've given enough people free information all year that you ain't got to give them nothing.
But I did tell you guys how I found them. So if you guys are looking for a black illustrator, like whoever, just go on Instagram, hashtag black illustrators. You'll see different styles of, you know, illustrators, of course, because it's all different people. Send them a DM. A lot of them will say like commissions open. That's how you know that they take custom orders and you can pay them. If you do it that way, make sure you are paying them via PayPal because you're a bit more protected.
So talk to me about, and you see it a lot more than me because, I work from home remotely, you know, finance, but tell me based off, because you've recently, like you said, you've gotten, you know, additional positions, whatever, and I'm sure these places are telling you where remote working is going in the future. Mm-hmm. What's the industry going to look like in 5 years? Are people going to be more like you on vacations on somebody's beach while working early in the day? Like what's going on with that?
It's definitely going to go into that. So honestly, I was going to narrow it down to tech, but honestly, with COVID, these organizations, these companies, these agencies, what have you, they're able to see that people can function and do work from home. So the issue is, you know, I guess even when they come out with this vaccine, I feel like people are still going to be creeped out with COVID. So even when we're able to go back into the office, there's going to be a ton of disinfecting, people coming out cleaning every day. You know, these things are costly. This is going to cost businesses a lot of money because now you're going to have people that even once the vaccine is out, they're still going to be wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. Like this new normal is going to go beyond whoever wins the presidency, beyond a vaccine. This, because you have to think about it too, you have people that are like germaphobes already, you know, like medically, like they, you know, I don't know if it's like under anxiety or what it is, but some people are just creeped out by what's plaguing us now in general,
right?
So adding on an actual pandemic where people, so many people have died and lost their lives, and the people who have lived that, you know, they have all of these other health issues that's been introduced from COVID, it's really a new normal. So with that being said, to answer your first question, on the timeline, I am seeing people saying, okay, my job sent out email that I'm permanently remote. So they're already making the switch. Then you think about it too, it's going to cost more money to bring us back in again for that cleaning, disinfecting component of it. that. So versus, you know, and having everyone from home, that's saving these businesses leasing money. Like a lot of people gave up their office space. Mm-hmm. So I think, I don't know. I think it's a lot of benefits. I think moving forward, a lot more companies are just going to allow folks to work from home again, because they see we're able to do so. Now, I will say that people are not the best at it. I have had to call like my local government offices, and you can tell they're in the bed and so forth. But, you know, it's okay.
Well, I only ask you because you'll see it more than me, because mm-hmm. like the financial industry is different. We might work remote, but it's on coast. But
yeah.
I know people more in your industry. You could be working remote in a job from somebody in Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Like,
I actually
have coworkers that are like in Istanbul. Is that the way you pronounce it? I don't know. Istanbul. I'm sorry. But no. Yeah, they're not even in the country. Like when this pandemic hit, like they went home. And so, yeah, like this is, I don't really see the need to go back in the office. Like if you have to interface with people in person, then so be it. Like I don't think robots want to replace, say, for example, a banker or what have you. But for the most part, if they can keep folks home, I think they're going to do so for sure.
And it sounds like, because I think you answered this earlier, it sounds like you're saying you're not seeing a decrease in salary, because that's the one thing I heard people saying on the timeline. Oh, when they work from home, they're going to pay you less, because if you move from Silicon Valley over to Colorado, your cost of living is low. I'm like, first of all, y'all don't know how that works, because most people know I've been in the corporate world a long time. Even if, like, say a manager got bumped down, they can't take your money away. Like, that's not how that works. Like, you can get fired. That's one thing.
Yeah.
But they can't demote you and then take your salary. That's not what happens.
Well,
but
okay.
Go ahead.
Now, do not quote me. I do believe, especially tech companies, because tech is kind of like one of those industries where you can work from anywhere in the world. So Silicon Valley to live is super, super expensive. So mm-hmm. what happens is, even before pandemic, you will have people coming on as managers. You know, the job is actually based in California, in New York, in DC, like these high cost areas. And they actually live in Mississippi. So now the employers know that, they are starting to kind of crack down on it. And
are they rolling back some of the salaries a little bit?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if all industries are being impacted by that, but in tech, it is for sure. And so, and this came about, I didn't even know about this until like a couple months ago. And I was like, oh my God, like there are jobs that have unlimited PTO. Like I've never heard of that. And so,
seriously,
yeah,
my job has unlimited sick time. Like literally the sick, I could call out for 2 weeks straight. There would be no bring a note, no why you sick, no what illness you have. I could call out. My boss would say nothing.
No, if you guys are hiring, please let me know. Because I didn't even know that was a thing. I'm like, what the heck? And it's crazy because I was actually researching UI UX design. And I think the lady was just talking about her job or whatever. She was like, we have unlimited PTO. And she like spends like a month in Paris. I'm like, what the hell? Like, if I try to do that, I will have to have a doctor's note, like all sort. Like, it would just like, honestly, just forfeit your job. Like, just quit. Like, it's no way. No.
But I think it's very strange because I feel like, kind of what you're saying, companies are giving up leases. And yeah. Trust me, I know the analysis on these real estate multi-million dollar leases on these downtown offices. Okay, you don't have to pay that expense anymore.
Yeah.
There's no reason you should be cutting people's salary.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. So I think these are two different things that we're talking about. So if we are able to go, okay, like me, for example, if my job says, okay, you guys don't ever have to come back, they wouldn't change my salary because I still live in DC. Mm-hmm. Now, so what I was speaking of are the companies that they know that they're paying someone $150,000 and the person lives in Mississippi. In Mississippi, the equivalent pay to that job is $85,000. So they're trying to figure out a way to, I don't want to, because I don't know the financial terms of it.
What, part back the salary, be more on market?
I guess so, because it's kind of like, it's smart.
But the skill set's still the skill set, though,
the skill set is still the skill set, but it's kind of like, I don't want to call it robbery, because it's actually very, it's smart for the employee. But for the employer, it's like, all right, you know, we're going to, like, you know, because every different city and state, they have different cost of living expenses.
Right.
So they're like, how are you going to get DC pay if you live in New Mexico? And I don't know if New Mexico is expensive to live on that. I don't know. But like, if you just live in an area, or okay, let's do Alabama, because I was just looking at like real estate in Alabama. You get a house for $40,000, but you're making money based in California. So you're making $200,000 in California, but you actually work from Alabama. You see what I mean? So it's like throwing off something. I don't know the terminology for it.
But all I feel is like us as employees basically getting back what the employers have been taking for years, because the median income has not grown in 40 years. So they can kick rocks.
No, and they should. They should. I don't know how that even became a thing. I don't even know who sat there in whoever's office and said, you know what? Charlie lives in West Virginia. We need to cut. Like, I don't even know how they come up with that at all. Like I said, it's super smart. It's super smart. Like, I would totally. Because, I mean, if you think about it, that's why people move down south and stuff like that, you know, for cost of living. So true. If I have a remote job up here and then I move to Georgia, like, I'm gonna be rolling in the dough. DC is so expensive compared to other areas. So, you know, like.
There's one thing. I've seen you tweet about this a lot. The developer money. Talk to me about this developer tech field that you said it's a 2021 goal, right?
Yeah.
Talk to me about this developer stuff.
So this goes back to me not necessarily acquiring more certifications, but just building up my skill set. And we talked, you know what? We talked about this on the first call, where I noticed that like the engineers on my team were making like $50,000 more than me just because they know how to code. It's still the same conversation where, you know, as a system administrator, you can be making $120,000. And I'm using ServiceNow, for example. Like, I think the most I've seen a ServiceNow administrator make is somewhere like between $110,000 and $120,000. But then I'm getting these emails and they're hiring, paying $85 to $95 an hour. Now, this is so much money that when I saw the hourly breakdown, I had no idea what the salary was. Go to Google. I think this is like $176,000 to $190,000. And the job is 100% from remote. So basically, I'm trying to learn JavaScript right now because I'm going to need that. Oh, so you didn't ask the main question.
Come on, bring it up.
So during the first, and I'm still talking modestly because I was able to crack this goal, but I'm working two jobs. So basically, I have no life hardly during the week. But anyway, one of my goals was to make 200,000. Remember that? I wanted to get 200,000. Yeah. So I was able to take on a second role, you know, since pandemic, working from home. So right now,
she be having three computers in front of her, y'all. Y'all gotta see this Twitter.
Three computers. Sometimes I have meeting discrepancies. I'm like in the middle of two meetings at once. I kind of wanted to get this advice too on your podcast, just for any field, honestly. Let's say, for example, you are Let's just say you're an office clerk, right? Like, you just do basic, you know, you're an assistant, you're an executive assistant, you're an office assistant. What's another job role like that? Like, anything clerical.
Administrative role.
Yeah, any administrative role. If you are working from home now and you are, you know, any clerical person, administrative, if you're in tech, honestly, kind of like any field where you're working from home already, pick up a second job. If your first and main job is not super demanding, like if you're not in meetings all day, you find yourself, you know, I'm at work. Sheesh. I, you know, only had work for maybe an hour or two. Now I'm free. Get a second job. Even if you work that second job for a month. I know that, and this, again, kind of going back to your area of expertise and how they always say the typical American doesn't have, you know, 3 months worth of savings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I'm saying to pick up the second job because you will be able to pay off stuff quicker. You will be able to, you know, pay your bills, still throw money in your savings, you know, double up on credit card payments, double up on car note payments, double up on rent, whatever it is that you need to do. If you find yourself working from home already and you have a lot of free time, get a second job. Again, even if it's for a month, even if it's for one pay period, get a second job. You don't have to marry the job.
I definitely echo with you, and I'll say that it's like, I don't have the second, well, technically I do, I consult, so that's like a thing,
yeah.
But I squeeze the consulting in the gaps between what I'm doing a 9 to 5, like, mm-hmm. especially on Tuesdays and Thursdays, man, you've recorded on one of those days when I have big gaps,
yeah.
and it's like, my job's not demanding. I'll take a call while I'm in the middle of reviewing some documents, mm-hmm. and people are like, I hear you typing, and like, yeah, I'm doing 20 things at one time.
Yeah.
I'm like,
especially, right, because you're comfortable with it. So you could, like, you can mm-hmm. do your job probably with your eyes closed at this point. Yeah.
Right. It's, and people, and this is what the multitasking is. This is why I always tell people, like, multitasking is a cheat code. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean doing 20 all unrelated things, but kind of what you're saying, you're good at tech. So you can do multiple tech jobs at one time.
Yeah.
I can do multiple finance things at one time. And an administrative person could do 2 administrative roles
yeah.
from home at one time. And people don't use that. They feel as though, oh, I'm just going to milk the clock and all that. We all do that, but milk 2 clocks.
Yeah, because at this point, well, okay, so disclaimer, if you're going to do that, if you want to get 2 jobs, this is the thing. I'm gonna give you like the, I guess, legal disclaimer and like keeping it real disclaimer. Mm-hmm. You can look probably like in your employee handbook for your first job and just make sure there's no clause of like
conflict of interest.
Right. Yeah, I couldn't, thank you. Friday mind. Yes, make sure it's like no conflict of interest type of situation. And make sure there's just no clause in there that says that you can't work 2 jobs. Like, just, you know, plain out, like, make sure it doesn't say that. Then on a keeping it real part of my advice, I don't want nobody getting in trouble listening to this, but if you find yourself kind of spirit thin financially and you're like, you know what, I'm gonna get a second job, and it is a clause there or something, you're like, I don't know, don't tell your coworkers. Like, keep that as your little secret.
For real, that's good advice, because people always want to talk.
Yeah, don't tell anyone anything that you have an issue with potentially coming out. Like, just don't do that. But I say it to say, when I first started my second job, I'm in the process of buying a house. So when you're buying a house, they're like, oh, you can't spend any money. You can't shop. You can't do this. That is not me.
Have they met you?
I don't know, because when the man was telling me this, I'm looking like, you see my bank statements. Like, the girl is going to the mall. Like, I'm doing that. So when he told me that, like,
one thing about AP, she gonna drop a coin.
Especially now, oh my god, I work hard. And
y'all ain't see them shoes? Look, check out her Twitter. If you as quiet as it's kept, check out her Twitter.
Yeah, I'm gonna go shopping. If I'm working, I want to be rewarded for that work, period. So even though, there are times, like right now I am in my sacrifice season, but for the most part, I'm still going to buy myself goodies whenever I see fit. So when he told me, like, you're going to have to calm down, that was my alert. I'm going to have to get a second job, because they want me to save X amount. But if I have another income, it does not matter.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
Hey, before you go on, oh my God, you about to make my mind explode.
Ooh, what's going on?
I want y'all to hear the gem she gave y'all. They gave her a restriction, and instead of seeing a problem, she found a solution.
Yeah.
And people don't do that enough. People tell you what the regular or the restrictive way it is, and people either they don't like it but do it anyway, or they don't like it and say, all right, I don't want it that bad. But you saw it's like, oh no, I need to shop. I need my shoes. I need my purses. I need my
anything,
you know, watches and all, anything.
Yeah.
And you found, you're like, all right, I don't need to spend less. I just need more income.
Yeah.
I got
you.
No problem.
So, So I actually just made another purchase too, which everyone was like freaking out about. I'm not gonna mention that. But so
you know I hate that word.
What?
You know
what
I hate
word?
That word?
Whisper it. Look, whisper it. What?
I almost choked because I was in the middle of taking a drink.
What does the word start with?
We'll talk about it offline, but go ahead.
So I made a purchase that everybody was freaking out about. Like, oh, you can't do that if you're trying to buy a house. And da, 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 da. This is the thing. So I am very solution driven. Like, I don't really see problems. I don't see problems in life in general, which I don't know if it's a good or bad thing. Because to me, as long as I'm alive and I'm free, I can change whatever situation I'm in. So that's how I take on everything anyway. So before I made this purchase, I was like, oh my, maybe I shouldn't buy it now. Maybe I should wait till I buy my house. So when I got them to run in the numbers, like I called like my mortgage lender and stuff like that, because I'm not really ready to buy. Like, I don't know. I'm still freaking out about the whole idea for whatever reason. So I reached out to the lender, let them run like my salary, my debts and all that. So before I made this purchase, I said, okay, you're going to have to pay down all your credit cards. Did that. Paid them down to zero. Again, this is something that working, picking up that second job, even if it's for a pay period, helps you do. So paid off everything that was just, you know, anything that affected my debt to income ratio, paid that off. Then I made my purchase. But saying that to say, yeah, like if you can get it, why was I going there? I always talk myself into a place I don't know where I am. You
this is why I never edited. Oh. Like you were making a point that, you know, people were giving you restrictions. Oh, yeah, yeah. And you found a solution with even with this new purchase.
Yeah, so did that. I feel good about that. I don't regret the purchase. And like I said, yeah, what God has for you will always be for you too. Because look at how stuff has come about already. Like, I don't think I was supposed to be successful in tech because I don't have a degree. Like, if you have to be solution based. When a problem presents itself or you see yourself, you're at the end of a tunnel and, you know, you don't see any light coming out of it, you need to find that light. The light exists.
But not even that. Like, you know, your side of Twitter has really shown me something that, well, I knew it on my mm-hmm. side of Twitter, but, you know, most of us have gone a different route, whatever. But your side of Twitter showed me that a lot of our people are capable, and some of them have your stories where they don't have the degrees. They don't have the, I saw a couple of them who didn't have tech yeah. backgrounds, and you helped them get certifications just by your material and all that. And to me, that's like, yo, look what your mind yeah. could do because someone told you you yeah. could do it. Or you believe that you could do it. Or Asia told you could make 120 grand. I've never seen you say something about 120K. And the girl was like, oh, bet. Like, let me get on. She was like, oh, bet. And that's the type, that's how I want our focus to yeah. be. I want it to be we're not educated enough. I want you to think of nothing but the salary. Oh, they paying 130 grand for this?
Yeah. Bet. Yeah.
I need to raise this much money to buy this real estate first property.
Right.
Bet. Like, it should always be bet. Like, I'm on that shit. Yeah. I can get
everything.
It.
Like I said, as long as you're alive and you're free, you really can, even as a Black person in America, you can make something shake. Just get it done. But it's okay. So I have a few topics I wanted to discuss too.
Go ahead. Go
just
on.
For motivational purposes. And I do. So when you say your side of Twitter, I do get that. But tech and finance kind of intertwine a lot.
It does. Yeah. It does a lot.
It does a lot. So never mind. I don't even want to start out the conversation like that. So what I'm going on because I don't want to. No. So what I'm starting to see is. And I get it. This goes back to kind of what I said before. You do have to make sacrifices. You do, you do have to give yourself, you know, I'm not going to shop this month. I'm not going to do, you know, whatever your vice is. There are people that like to go to the casino. Okay. I cannot go to the casino for 3 months, stuff like that. Cool. There are a lot of people also on Twitter that don't like it. They are telling people what to do with their money. This is the thing. I don't think you should always have instant gratification. I think there are times and seasons of sacrifice. I am in mine. Don't tell people that they have to live this basic life after they've worked their ass off. They don't deserve to, like, you should, don't go buy that. Go do this instead. I really don't like that. Again, going back to my story, there's, you know, if you're about to buy a house, you can't do X, Y, and Z. I am going to do X, Y, and Z because I'm going to get another job that's going to do something else to my debt to income ratio. And then y'all going to be blown away again. Like, don't stop putting people in these boxes like they don't deserve to have nice things when they're accomplishing stuff, especially when people are doing it the right way. Like, I don't like that.
All right. Let me give you a flip side of what that means.
Oh, you know what? Oh, yeah, Jamal, you don't be with some of my mess either. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I don't. And this is what it is. I want people to understand I'm not against their gratification. Mm-hmm. I'm not against them, you know, deserving. I hate the word deserving. Them rewarding themselves.
Okay. Yeah, that is
for an achievement. Like I tell people all the time, I grew up poor. That shit did something to my spirit. I got it out the mud. I understand that. Mm-hmm. My thing is the discipline. Even before we get to your type of salary and all that, and I tell people this all the time. A lot of people don't have a income problem. You have a disciplined money management problem.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So my issue is, okay, AP, you teaching people who were making 40 grand, now they get a certificate, they making 120. Oh, but AP, if their money management and their discipline is out of control, they're still going to have those money problems.
Yeah.
So I need you to fix the discipline. I need you to fix the impulse. I need you to fix the mismanagement. Just because you made 120K this year, okay, with taxes, you down to 80. You shouldn't be spending $75,000 to $80,000 worth of your salary. I need people to come to reality. Yeah, you can have nice things, but it needs to be in moderation. It needs to be spread out. I'm not worried about you having a good life in a good couple of years. I'm worried about when you retired in 70, that you have 7-8 figures income because you listened a little bit. You were moderate a little bit. You reserved a little bit.
Yeah.
And people think, oh, stop telling people what to do with their money. Hell no. It's my job. That's literally my profession to make sure that people...
No. You do it in a totally different way than what I've seen. You are, look, you're Mr. Financial Literacy, like 1,000%. When you're giving advice, I'd be like, all right, Jamal is absolutely right. But then there are people that are just straight hating. But I definitely see, look, I definitely see what you're saying too.
No, I definitely agree with you. Like, I think, man, you both saw the other day when somebody ignorant said, y'all worried about the tax bracket. None of y'all ever going to live in a $400,000 income. Yeah. I said, the devil is a liar. Who the hell is talking?
That's when it hits like that, that's when I'm like, this is just...
Yeah, like I believe, my thing is I believe y'all can make that money. I just don't want y'all spending
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, your whole take is definitely different. Because even now, I just heard you like, because I had to talk to myself. Look, I had to talk to myself. at my big old age, I had to talk to myself. I said, Asia, there's always going to be something you like or you want. You cannot go and buy everything that you want.
Exactly.
or not
at one time. That's my whole thing. It's like, set goals. And when I tell people set goals, it's not just about investing goals. Let's say I know you like handbags. Say you want to build a handbag collection of all of LVHM's greatest hits. I'm gonna be like, all right, AP, let's look at it. You can buy two a year.
Yeah.
For the next 5 years to get up that collection. Oh. I do not want you buying 5-6 of them a year.
Oh,
you got to spread this out.
I say once a month. Okay.
No. See, that's my thing. My thing is you can have it all. You just ain't got to have it all at the same goddamn time.
I mean, you don't even need, but yeah, I guess, yeah, I was about to say what you just said, but in a different way. You're absolutely, yeah. So that's what I had to tell myself. I told myself this actually last week. So, you know.
Yeah, but I definitely get what you're saying. There is a corner of Twitter. I like to call them ghetto poor Twitter.
Yeah. And this other example goes with your example of you guys are never going to make $400,000 or about $400,000 house or whatever it is. This whole, when Black people get a hold of something, it is now ghetto. I don't understand that.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
I think I muted Birkin. Birkin is muted. It's just like, I don't know. I think that, and you talked about this on the first time we recorded. Not that we are less than other people, but we have a longer way to go in terms of just wealth, you know, that exceeds when we're long gone. We do have a long way to go with that. So, yeah, in that manner, I have changed. I did change a little. Look, I'm about to give myself some credit, Jamal. I have gotten better.
AP, do not make me go through your Twitter and see something you bought in the last 30 days. Like, don't.
All right. Okay. Okay.
Right.
But my sacrifice season, okay.
Yo, this is when you know your best friend lying because she's double talking. She's double talking.
All right, let's stick to the good stuff. Don't look, now we letting out all my laundry.
All right. No, but I feel and that's what it is. I feel like our stuff kind of go hand in hand. Like you're putting people in a position to make more money than their parents or grandparents have ever seen. And I just want to be the person they turn to keep it. It's a beautiful thing. Like I've seen a lot of people make six figures. I don't see a lot of people keep six figures. It's a difference. It's not, I tell people all the time, it's like, no matter, I live modest because I want my daughter to be a trust fund baby. I want her to say my daddy left me 10 million in a trust fund. Like, nigga, you can't do nothing for me. Like that's my longevity goal because the money can come and go. And not to say we all know tech is, I say this all the time, tech is about to mint the hundreds, millions of new millions and billionaires over the next 25 mm-hmm. years. The problem is, as technology advances, something is going to make tech old eventually. Yeah. And that money that you made so easily in your youth, me and you are eventually going to be old. We're not going to have the capacity to learn new skills. And when that money dries up, it dries up quick, fast, and in a hurry.
And look, and so then in tech, we're building the crap that's going to take us over.
Right.
We are old so enemies.
That's the thing. That's the thing. So I just like to give people the perspective of like, yo, go off. You made six figures, but tell me how much you saved.
So
how much you invested. How much you did that.
I think that was part of my conversation too, because, you know, going back and the standard rule of thumb is you're supposed to have, is this, I mean, obviously you want to have as much money as you want, to, you know, as you can have in your savings. But I think the typical standard is like 6 months worth of your salary.
Mm-hmm. Because you never know what's going to happen. Yeah. You and I are blessed that we happen to be in a field that we were already positioned to work mm-hmm. from home. But them service industries or those, you know, dry cleaners that depend on foot traffic, they got to, if they ain't open, they ain't making no money.
Yeah. There's something else I wanted to say too that I wanted to. No, never mind.
I just want to pause and say that every time me and AP get on here, the episode was always over a buck. We always over an hour.
No, but I appreciate, I don't want you to feel like you take a sense of Black empowerment into your advice. Yours is not hating. So I will always listen, and everyone else should listen too. So your take is total.
No, and that's it might come from a source of love. I know some people might be a little aggressive sometimes because the way we grew up, you were up down the street and, you know, from where I'm mm-hmm. in Baltimore, like people don't hear you unless you speak in the way they grew up. So I can't always be Black and professional. I gotta be like, look, you know, like this is what it is. But it's always a sense of love and always a sense of integrity. I'm not worrying about y'all looking good at the latest, you know. Sunday at Euphoria buying 20 bottles.
Euphoria.
Nigga, about you. Here she go, ATV and ghetto right ghetto right on the podcast. She loved that ghetto Euphoria.
That was definitely AP. So Asia is the one that's working. AP is the Jamal, I'm up here. Where you at?
See? But, there you go.
We always talk for a really long time. So y'all always have fun doing your podcast.
Yeah, because I feel like, and that's what it is. People are always saying, like, hey, you do it all the time. But other people come on, can I cuss on here? I say, yo, if you haven't seen my tweets, my shit is real.
We cussing.
You
podcast,
say what you want to say. No, what I'm saying, people fade. They can't say certain stuff. I say, I'm like the Black Gary V. You ain't heard me cuss on a couple of podcasts. You
I know, I'm like, I curse, but I don't tell people to break their employment clause and stuff.
I know. Like, we giving them the real stuff. But I want you to, of course, drop your Twitter handle. Drop your No, we gotta gotta give them. I want to make I'm forgetting stuff, so we gotta get it in here now. Give them your Twitter handles. Let them know the website. Let them know other things, other resources. I always want them to get the resources. Put the resources in here before we keep going.
Oh, now I feel bad. Okay, so my website is www.intechshetrust.com. I think Jamal initially called it In Tech We Trust because I don't know, men always want to associate themselves. Sorry, no, I'm joking.
I definitely called it In Tech She Trust. I did not say We Trust.
Run the recording back. You say We.
I'm gonna run it back.
It's okay. I'm joking. It's just that always happens when I talk to a guy. But yeah, it's intechshetrust.com. My Twitter and Instagram handles are PrincessXAP, and that's about it. Now, in terms of resources, I'll be 1,000% honest. Since I've taken on this second job, I am not as, I haven't been keeping that updated because I've been super, super, super busy. I've even had to take my consults down. But if you reach out to me, not you, the listeners, if they like message me or they email my website and stuff like that, I'm still doing consults, but they're like at no fee because I took that part of my website down. So I still give advice and answer whatever questions I can and help out people as I go. I know there are still a lot of free resources out. You guys can check out like Udacity. I know they're doing like a free like Google Cloud type of situation, and Google, the GCP, any of those certifications are super, super lucrative and high paying. So check that out. I still utilize stuff like Udemy.com, YouTube. Of course, go to any of the vendors' websites. So, for example, ServiceNow, Salesforce, CompTIA, any of the big certification houses, they'll always have like online resources for learning. At this time, like I said, a lot of the courses are still free and on demand online. So take advantage of those. I want to update my site. I'm going to blog more. I'm going to do more. This is why I said I feel bad, because I just have not honestly had the time with work, but I'm going to do better.
But you, like I said, you've done enough for 2019. Like, recharge for 2020.
We are in 2020,
and get back.
Jamal.
But
I think we're waiting for, yeah.
2021.
Look, 2021. 2019 was like, fun. It wasn't all this crap we got going on.
It was funny while you were just talking. I was thinking like, yo, when we open up, like, because I know a lot of your people on your side of Twitter and mine, like, we're all in the same area. The one thing I feel like the community, at least in the DMV, is missing is networking events. I'm not talking about we get together for happy hour drinking. I'm talking about really chopping it up about what we're seeing in our fields. Coming up with ventures together, that type of stuff. I think that's something that's very underutilized in the DMV.
I don't know. We might have to cut some stuff out if my episode is too long, because I definitely want to talk about what you just mentioned.
I'm not going to cut any of it out. All of it's going in.
I think, first of all, when I dropped my website, I actually lost friends. Let's start there.
Oh, stop it.
I lost friends when I launched my website. I've had people tell me at the time, you're going to make this certification oversaturated, because I'm telling people the free resources. It's been a blessing. No, it's been nothing but a blessing. I'm not even going to give those people a satisfaction and say it was a curse. It has been nothing but a blessing. It has been very telling. And going back to your initial question, we as people have to stop being crabs in a barrel. Like, I feel like the networking and stuff doesn't exist because people don't want to put people on. People are very much, and I don't know if this is a thing since the pandemic started, because people have lost jobs. It is a little bit more competitive. I don't know if this started this year, or are people really just crabs in a barrel? Because like I said, lost friends. Yeah, lost friends.
They really
friends.
Crabs in a barrel.
Somebody else told me, don't tell people about this cert. Somebody told me, first of all.
I feel like you're about to read them.
No, because I am very, 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 very nice. I am very, very, very humble. And I told you the reason why I launched my website in the first place, because I know I don't go to church and pay tithe. This is my way to give back. You know, what God has for me will always be for me, whether I tell 6,000 people about a certification. I'm still going to be me. Some people have not reached that level where they can even do networking events because they don't want to help people. I've been in IT for a few years now. I've been in IT service management the entire time. One of the certifications that I like cut everyone through like really, really heavily was ServiceNow, which is normally in total like $2,700 to get. When COVID hit, it was free. Then they kept the course. The course used to be $2,400 and the exam was $300. So $2,700 total. They kept the course free, but now I think the exam is like $300. This has been my area of tech since I started tech. I've always been in IT service management. It was some new person that told me, don't tell people about ServiceNow because it's going to be oversaturated. Sis, first of all, you were new to the club. How are you telling me not to tell other people, where if it wasn't for me, you know, wanting to share knowledge and help people, she wouldn't have even been helped. So it's just like, it's so many layers of just... People, again, need to acknowledge that what God has for you will be for you. You helping someone else, putting someone else on, is not going to take away from whatever you're doing. And once we get there, then there'll be more networking events. But till then, we're all...
No, I think you're right. But it wasn't just the pandemic. Like, people were just... They're afraid that it's the same reason why everything has to be pay me, pay me, pay me, pay me, pay me. It's like people I've jumped on people's what do you call them, webinars, whatever, for the pandemic, mostly because I like to get, you know, information, see what people are offering people. So honestly, I don't do what they're doing, like roping people in saying, oh, I'm going to give you this information. But what you're doing is giving them, scraping around the surface without really giving them substance. You're telling them, oh, this is what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. But to really get the information, you got to get my course for $1,200, which is normally $3,000. Bro, just tell me you want $1,200 and stop telling people that you're giving them free information.
It goes back to my, I mean, you know, you do have to pay for people's knowledge. I'm not taking that away. Like,
true, but not every single detail, bro. Like, I give people way a lot of information in investing. You know what happens? Yeah. People still pay to consult with me because they don't know what the hell is going on. They like, I got what you're saying. I still don't understand it, or I understand it, but I trust your experience more, blah, 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 blah. I feel like people, they're just doing too much, kind of like what you said. They're afraid of taking that money out of their pocket, which lets me know that you're really not as good as you think you are.
Right. I mean, if you were, you wouldn't even think like that. You know you're good at the end of the day. So.
Right. It's like, it's really that type of thing. And that's so sad, because we could be so more collaborative if all of us were making money. Because I feel as though when I put people on for certain things and they make a little money, they're going to come back and like, all right, let's do this business venture together, or let's do this. And like, that's just where my mindset is. It multiplies in other ways.
You are, you and myself actually, okay, now I'll be a little, you know, braggy. You and myself, we are rare in that sense. And it's sad. It's sad. So, you know, just going off of what we said earlier, not only is the financial literacy probably not where it needs to be for our community, even when we have the knowledge, which is free, people are not helping. It's sad.
And here's the thing that people don't talk about enough. You not helping people, and I don't care how people take it on, and maybe it offends some people, you're adding to the crime. People do desperate things when they can't feed their families, when they can't get work, when they have no sense of pride. Like, quiet as it's kept, you keeping that knowledge is a part of the problem. You're making people desperate in ways that they wouldn't be if you gave them a little help, if you gave them a sense of, you know, self-sufficiency and all that. So yes, you are part of the problem. And I'm not just talking about handouts, because a lot of people who will say, oh, you just want me to hand people out. The ones who say, oh, you just want to give out handouts, you're probably really the people who don't even need the fee. You probably, that $1,200 would not make or break you. But you're so desperate to keep that income coming from that small person instead of letting a community build. And you know what? Your income comes in other ways. Now they want you to come for speaking engagements. Now they want you to write a book. And now they want you to do other things. My thinking is just different. I always think that there's going to be new streams, just kind of what you said, from them blessings, and the community itself has.
And not even, I think you'll agree on what I'm about to say. I agree 1,000,000% with what you just said. Another thing, for me personally, because I don't have a degree, not to say that I like talking to people with a degree more, but this is how I think too. By me not having a degree, and I speak with someone, or, you know, consult with someone that does have a degree, because I have spoken to people who have went on to get PMPs, that like project management certification and stuff like that, you know, and they have a degree. I'm like, okay, I talk to this person, or, you know, network with this person, sync up with this person, whatever the case is. That person may need to hire me 5 years from now. You just never know. People are so into harboring any helpful information, any research. They just harbor it. Like, what the hell are you going to do with it? You never know who you're going to need 5, 10, 15 years down the line. You never know. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it goes back to what you said too, building those relationships. Now they want to work with you on other stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. I tweeted this the other day. I said, I've sent people, normalize sending people money without them knowing that you sent money their way. Like, I do that all the time. People come to me, oh, they definitely confuse financial analysts with accountant. They're like, oh, can you help me with my, you know, taxation, or can you help me with marketing? I'm like, that's not my field, but here are 3 or 4 people who I think will help you better, or here's a girl who does this marketing. I've sent people VA assistance and not told the person that I was sending a client their way. And they booked the person and using all that's just how I think. I'm like, that person, I don't need the validation of the person knowing.
And it's funny though, because when you do right, especially in your example that you're speaking of, the person that you what do I want to say? The person you referred without you even mentioning, okay, you know, telling the VA I'm sending this person to you, 9 times out of 10, the person's gonna say, hey, Jamal referred me to you. And so it ended up speaking for itself too. Yeah.
True. Like, but even if they didn't, yeah. Maybe, like, I'm good with it. You don't need to. I don't care if you know that I sent
that
money
Leo
or not.
That's
not
that
really
good Leo energy.
It's like I stand firm on who I am. Like, I know what I did. Mm-hmm. I know how I do good by people. Nobody needs to confirm or validate that. Like, that's just how it rolls. And I think a lot of this whole harboring information comes from lack of self-confidence.
Absolutely.
You feel like you can't stand out. You feel like you won't, you know, you won't be differentiated. So what if 10,000 Black people get ServiceNow certificates? Like, worry about standing out in your experience. Exactly. Worry about being a good worker. Worry about having ideas that make the system work easier. If you worry about solutions instead of worrying about competition, I bet you will be further along.
That needs to be quoted. I don't know. I might gotta take that, put that on that might be on the next merch. Oh, we should collab.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Yeah, that was
put
good,
it on
Jamal.
A t-shirt.
And I know that's just you. You be having good stuff to say. Yeah.
That's because I've just lived life. And, you know, it's just, you know, the experience. Mm-hmm. I think it's the wisdom God gave me, because I know what I'm here for. I know the moves I'm going to make, the positions I'm going to be in. And it's just like, I don't need to stomp on anybody else to, you know, get where I need to be. So that's always good. But come on, give them one good more piece of advice before we wrap this up, because I think we had like one.
Oh, yeah,
we're going to be at 120 for this episode. I'm with it. I know. But that's only an hour and like 20 minutes. But I think they like listening to you anyway.
That's so look, you got me blushing. I'm like, no, it is really, really, really flattering. I think as a Leo, we just have proud moments. But I am a very I don't like the textbook definition of humble, but I am I am very modest.
You're modest.
You know, people
you're very modest.
People say they didn't think I was gonna be nice. Like, I don't know. But kind of like you.
I mean, you do get, like, if I didn't know you, you got that pretty girl face.
No. Like I said, I know where my blessings come from. I thank God all throughout the day. And I acknowledge that whatever God has given me can be taken away. So it keeps me kind of grounded and so forth. But main piece of advice, or final piece of advice. Dang, Jamal, I don't know. I feel like I don't want to say what I already said earlier. I think right now my main piece of advice goes back to if you are able to take on a second job, do so. I know for a lot of people, especially when pandemic first hit, you know, everybody was like, oh my God, start a business, do this, do that. You know, obviously make sure you're okay, you know, in a good mental space. If you're able to take on other things, take on a second job if you can, to just make yourself more comfortable financially. Like I say, if you're able to do so, take it one day at a time, knowing that, okay, I still have job A. So when you take on job B, you know you're super good. Mm-hmm. If you decide to do that, ask them, are they really meeting heavy? Is that a thing? I don't know. Help me word that better. Like, do they have a lot of
heavy
meetings? Like, is this job going to be super demanding?
Are they, you know, If the day-to-day overlapping.
Okay, so when you're interviewing for a second job, potentially, be comfortable in asking those questions. I know for a lot of people, when we're looking for that first job, we just want to get in the door. We don't even ask. The interviewer goes, do you have any more questions? We're like, no. Like, we don't already look at the salary and everything. Like, we just want that job. But if you're able to get on a second job, ask questions about the work life, you know, how are the meetings and stuff like that? Because I don't want you to stress yourself out. But if you are working from home right now, definitely try to take advantage of adding on an extra income. It will help out a lot. And it doesn't have to be a crazy, you know, numerical amount in terms of salary. Even if it's an extra $50,000 a year job, that helps. That helps you tackle down things. That helps you to build up a savings in case something does happen. So that would be my main piece of advice, I think, for today.
And just to piggyback, I think AP's her journey, like, should teach you guys that, you know, one, degrees are not everything. two, it's really about mm-hmm. what you set your mind to. Like for Asia, it's about, oh, she likes luxury things. So she's going to put herself in a position where she can afford it and she has the financial stability to afford it, where it's like she can live the best of two worlds. And it is possible if you're responsible, if you're deliberate, if you're disciplined, if you're diligent, all those things. So if you get nothing from that, just make sure that the investment in you is the most important thing out of all of this.
What I want to say, I probably should have texted you for permission for this, but if you are a pandemic boy and do you get where I'm going? You want me to stop?
Go off.
If you have figured out a way to come across money that, you know, just money just from out the sky, don't just buy stuff with it. Like, I don't even know if I don't know. They should listen, because I don't think anyone is talking to people that I'm seeing on social media just flashing, you know, $50,000 and whatever they're doing. Okay, let me start over with this. We won't have to cut some stuff out because this is really long. Anyone that is doing anything that is just not what you're exactly supposed to be doing, can y'all stop? For one, stop posting it on Instagram and social media and all this and that. First of all, don't do it. But if you are, don't post it on social media. You have no points to prove. Y'all are literally incarcerating yourselves. Secondly, after you knock out that, delete Instagram or whatever, I don't know. Can y'all find something to do with y'all money? Or like, stop just buying stuff? I don't know. It's just been driving me nuts. Look at. Yeah, I don't know.
No, I agree with you. Like, you want a windfall. Yeah. Like, this is a once in an opportunity.
Yeah,
windfall.
And then you can't,
what are you doing with it?
You know, because from, you know, just watching the news and stuff. And this is on Twitter too. I'm gonna let you, I know you're like probably want to start your Friday night, Jamal, so I'm sorry. One guy like a rap song about it, about how he made like $2 million. Yeah.
I saw that. He ended up in jail.
Okay, coronavirus only been, we've been in a state of emergency since what, like March? So from March to October, let's just say you touched 200,000. We're not going to post that. Okay. Also, just stop. If you are still free at this point after doing whatever the heck you did, just stop, because 6, 7, 8 months of being lit and buying designer stuff is not worth the 25 years they're starting to throw at us. So y'all just need to be more mindful. Not us as in me, because I don't do that, but us as in Black people. It's not worth it. So, I mean, I know it's probably addictive for some people, whatever the case is, but y'all gotta chill. Like, it's just OD. I wish we would have talked. This would have been a really good topic to talk about earlier. For real, because it's just like they don't have family or somebody they can give them the money to, and like they start. Because my whole thing is, when they go to jail, creating businesses or anything, so they gonna be locked up in jail with no money, no stream of income. Like, y'all don't put nothing in y'all aunt name. Y'all don't start y'all aunt a business, because we trust our aunt. Sometimes people don't trust their mom. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't even know what be going on. And I'm just like, I saw one dude. So that guy who made the song about it, who got like $2 million, he's in jail. Another person went to jail, and I think he posted a picture and actually said F the police, which is just beyond me, on Instagram. He's in jail. These people are getting like 25 years for like a lit 6 months. In no way is 6 months of money worth 25 years. Like, I don't know what planet these people live on, but it's crazy. So that's all I wanted to say. That was my advice too.
And the self-incrimination is right. But Asia is right. We'll dive more. Trust me, we'll have more material.
Oh, you invite me again? Okay, probably on the next episode. Bye, Jamal. I'll let you go.
All right, y'all. This has been another episode of the Culture's Money, your financial, business, and entrepreneurial podcast. We'd like to thank Asia for coming on once again to give us a bevy of topics to talk about. I hope y'all enjoy this episode, because it's going to get cut and sliced a little bit. I'm keeping most of it. It's all going in there. So we appreciate you guys listening to us. Please subscribe, leave comments, give us feedback. We appreciate it all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's right. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Culture's Money. You can follow Jamal on Instagram and Twitter at Leo Grand Prince. That's Leo Grand Prince. You can also get in contact with Jamal via Facebook and LinkedIn. Just type in his name. That's Jamal, J-A-M-A-A-L, Vitose, V-E-T-O-S-E. Thank you for listening, and we'll